I run the family business.
I run the family.
Florida politics is my playground.
I walked away from it all in favor of the politics of the playground.
Neither of us suffers from a lack of opinions.
This is...
He Said.
She Said. Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of He Said, She Said. I'm Michelle Todd Schorsch.
I'm Peter Schorsch.
And we thank you for joining us for what we think should be a pretty good episode today.
Can we start off, though, and let me wish you a happy Mother's Day for our podcast audience. I hope it was a relaxing day for you.
Yeah, today is Monday, the day after Mother's Day. So we did have a great day. Thank you for giving me exactly what I wanted. I told you I didn't want to do a lot. I just kind of was over being overscheduled, and we had a glorious, relaxing day. You really helped Ella deliver, like, the most perfect Mother's Day presents and cards ever.
That was all her. She had a plan. She wanted to trick you at first, and then she wanted to...
How did she want to trick me?
She wanted to get you a Game of Thrones box and put your presents in that, and so she... She's like, I don't want to trick mommy. And so I think it's interesting that you're just not a Sunday Mother's Day brunch person. Like, you definitely wanted to do Melting Pot above.
Yeah, nothing sounded less enjoyable to me than getting us all up, everyone dressed and out of the house on time to then be at brunch. I just wanted a relaxed morning because so much of motherhood is getting everyone up and dressed and out of the house on time for a variety of events. Like, I just wanted a relaxing, slow day. I'm generally the cruise director trying to get everybody to port on time, and I didn't want to have to do that on Mother's Day. So you accomplished that well.
And thank you
to Uber Eats for delivering my requested Mother's Day breakfast of McDonald's.
We're going to have a lot to talk about with Uber today because we have Jeff Brandis on and we have Stephanie Smith on.
Like another Mother's Day present to me to have my best friend on the podcast, Stephanie Smith.
Well, she's a top lobbyist. I mean, if this is going to be a show about Florida politics, she's your best friend. But we haven't had Susky on, and I don't know that we'll be having
He doesn't listen to the show. So until he starts listening and until he gives me that 5-star review, no Susky on the show.
It was Alan's birthday on Saturday, and we did release a very special treat to our Facebook audience.
Yes, I finally authorized our banner man, Mark Ferrullo, to release a video from a Memorial Day party.
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
At the Madison.
Only 8 years?
Yeah, it was 2011.
Yeah. It was our first cookout together as a couple, and we were introducing our parents to each other for the first time. And let's just say Peter's going to Peter, because there's...
Well, Alan, too. It was two sides to this.
And to be, like, very clear, like, some of our, like, remember, like, Joey Triola... He came with a cooler full of, like, mini liquor bottles. He was drinking, like, the 99 bananas.
I just think it's amazing that we had, I think, like, didn't we count 35 people?
Maybe 40 in our one-bedroom condo.
Right. And I hurt my leg that day. I don't remember how.
The vacuum cleaner. You cut the front of your leg open with, like, you just, like,
dropped
the vacuum cleaner down the front of your leg.
And I was dying.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we couldn't get it to stop bleeding. You had this big bandage. Because just so you know, for our listeners, I don't vacuum.
I vacuumed. And so I was hurt.
I don't even know where the vacuum cleaner is in our house. I don't even know if we have one, to be honest with you.
I think this was at the end of the party, or getting close to the end of the afternoon segment of the party.
Oh, wait, can I just clarify? But I like the floors clean. I'm not dirty when I say I don't vacuum. Like, I'm insistent. Like, if the bottom of Ella's foot looks anything less than pinky, I go insane and the floors have to be mopped right away.
And so Alan and I got into a discussion about who was faster. And so we were going to run a 100-yard dash or thereabouts.
Through the courtyard.
And
it's just the greatest video.
You should go check it out on my Twitter account at Peter Schorsch FL or my Facebook account, because it's almost this Italian opera, the first part of it, because you turn the sound off and it's awesome. The body language between Susky and I arguing, but then you pop in.
And I am telling you both that you're idiots and you're not going to do this because you're both just going to hurt yourself.
And
I tell you, you're just going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. You're both just going to look a bunch of idiots. You're not doing this.
And so we start the race, and right out of the gate,
Peter trips over his own two feet and eats it
right on the bricks. And you're like, oh, wait a second. The race is over with. And everybody's laughing. And literally like 3 seconds
Peter
later,
Peter pops up and starts running. And then Alan falls and eats it. And worse than Peter. Yeah.
And people just, they couldn't believe what they're watching at how bad this was, these two grown men. And we ended up, Alan ended up winning by, you can't even say winning because it's like he just was able to get up off the ground quicker than I was. And so it is a, I labeled it the worst foot race ever run. So that was Susky's birthday on Saturday.
Well, and thank you, Mark Ferrullo, for being the keeper of that video footage. We did not have it. Mark is who shot it, and he's had it all this time. He was holding it in the vault until he was authorized to release it. And I was thrilled that he agreed to release it in honor of Alan's birthday for me.
Yep. Sunday night, though, you were very generous. All right, so we did Melting Pot, and we got through Melting Pot quick.
We had, like, the best Melting Pot server ever.
Right.
I mean, we were in and out in less than 2 hours, which is unheard of.
That can turn into a 3.5-hour meal.
If you're with people who don't know how to order at Melting Pot.
Yeah, and it's just, thank you again to our friends, Reggie Cardoza and Stephanie Lewis, who
hopefully she's in labor today. Please, can you have that baby? I want to meet it.
Well, but they're the people who brought us into...
They introduced us to Melting Pot.
To Melting Pot, the wonder of... In fact, I would love for this podcast to be brought to you by Melting Pot. Like, if we just had a little crock right now going with some...
I would just be going to town on some Wisconsin cheddar.
Some cocoa vid.
No, I wouldn't steak. Be doing the cocoa vid. I wouldn't be cooking meat while I was podcasting. I think all we can handle is like the cheese.
The cheese. All yeah. right. So, and this is the original Melting Pot. So this is
the test kitchen. They get a lot of new They try out a lot of new recipes there that other locations don't
I love when they
get.
Say that. New
I know.
Recipes.
It's like, woo. Like, we put some cranberries in the cheese today, which got, we pass on that. By
you've
the
got
way.
Michelin star chefs in the back, like concocting, like, you know, very special. Deconstructed recipes.
Yeah, but I wanted to go there for Mother's Day because Ella really loves Melting Pot. So I can relax completely through dinner. Like, I don't have to entertain her.
She crushes Melting Pot.
I don't have to try to force her to eat food. She eats her meal there and she's happy. She's content. And it's everyone's talking to each other. It's so interactive, which is why I enjoy it.
And she eats just the bread and the broccoli and the carrots
and the apples.
Front end.
Yeah, she doesn't eat meat.
And then the dessert course, she's so like lean. So you just don't think of her as like crushing sweets that much. And then you look at her and like there is just chocolate sauce
all over her
everywhere. And so it is amazing watching. If anybody has been to this Melting Pot, if you walked into it, you would think it's this amazing like lodge bar. Like the front end, like if you cut it off and you're like, if you just made that.
It's a great bar.
That bar, you know, the lodge.
It would be a great bar. I mean, if it was staffed with more than one bartender. Right. So therefore, it's not a great bar.
And
like only one bartender on Mother's Day. It's only ever one bartender.
Yeah.
So he's service bar and he's going to take care of the bar area. So you need to pre-order all of your drinks because they take about 20 to 30 minutes.
Well, all right. So you let me get back and you knew I was nervous because. We're down to our penultimate episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, no. I was happy to let you get back because I can't wait for this shit to be over. I know that I only have one more week after this of Game of Thrones, and I cannot wait. The end is in sight for me. I can have my living room back. I don't have to plug my ear, so I don't have to hear all of that.
The burning and the screeching and the... The dragon sounds.
I mean, I was just trying to read a book last night with the bedroom door closed, and all I could hear was dragon fire, and like the house was shaking. It's like, all right, I'm not even gonna give him shit about how loud he has the sound bar. Ella's on the third floor. I think she'll sleep through this.
All right, so you know, this is the spoiler alert, I guess, for people, which we'll talk about in a second. Spoiler alerts, but last night, as has been foreshadowed over the last couple of episodes, this is the big battle. For King's Landing, you have this incredible set piece, and it's from Croatia. It's that city, Dubrovnik. I think Chris.
Whatever.
Spencer's
don't try to pronounce things.
All right. And so it's all set up. Cersei, the Lannisters, they're all set up. They've got the Iron Fleet ready to go. We're waiting. The music is building. And then directly out of the sky, dive bombing is this dragon, the last of her three dragons, and it wipes out the Iron Fleet within moments, who we thought were going to be able to stop her because they have basically a ballista at the front of their ship. They had killed a dragon in the previous episode. Whereas the dragons had been pretty ineffectual the last couple of episodes, like they weren't really good in the big battle of Winterfell, and they got, you know, surprise attacked in the last episode. Suddenly, the dragon is what it has supposed to have been for the last 7.5 seasons, this incredible game-changing air force. And it wipes out the Iron Fleet. It then begins to wipe out the ballistas that are ringed around or ringing the entire city of King's Landing. It then goes through and destroys the mercenary army that Cersei had hired to defend the place, called the Golden Company. At that point, the Stark, Dothraki, and Unsullied army runs in. They're killing everybody. It's clear that the Lannisters are defeated, and they kept saying that if you hear the bells, they've rung the bells, and that's a playback to the prequel to the show, that the Lannisters have quit and that there's no need to burn down the rest of the city. We hear the bells, and everybody's looking, and then you see this crazy Daenerys Targaryen on top of a dragon.
Don't call her crazy.
And she is crazy on this. She ends, well, she's a war criminal because she then proceeds to burn down King's Landing and kills tens of thousands of quote unquote innocent civilians, including women and children.
I would just like to point out too that the fine folks at Game of Thrones made the decision to highlight, like to introduce mother characters that had never been a part of the show before, and to highlight that they were being murdered on Mother's Day. It just was a great choice. Yet another reason why I don't like the show.
Last night was a very visceral, very, you know, it reminded me of some of the old episodes where you saw the heads being cut off, where you saw a lot
They finally delivered what they were supposed to do a few episodes ago.
Some good violence, some gore, and
they finally eliminated some characters of consequence.
They did. They started off by eliminating Varys, who is a spy master. They eliminated the Hound in a battle. That is something that fans had been looking forward to, him and his brother fighting. The Lannisters, Jaime and Cersei, are killed with the building falling on. But what everybody's going to be talking about is,
I mean, we think they're dead. We're 99% sure they're dead.
They're 99%. A castle landed on top of their head. What we're going to be talking about is that Daenerys went crazy, like her father, the Mad King, and she's burned down King's Landing, and now what do we do with this woman who is protected by, and it is important to note that it's a woman, because there's a lot of criticism out there that they have set this character up for failure, and that they have said that this was supposed to be an entire story arc, 8 years or 8 seasons of this female empowerment, this incredible character that has gone.
I have never believed for a minute that this show is about female empowerment.
But, well, I know you don't, but there's been a lot of.
No, but they're proving me correct that it's not about that.
Well, and I think.
But here's the thing, like, who was surprised by this? I mean, she is the mother of dragons. She is the daughter of the Mad King. She's doing what Daenerys is supposed to do. And if anyone who thought this wasn't what was going to happen, and they're just not very bright.
Does it matter what happens here in Game of Thrones?
No, it doesn't. It ends after next week. It's going to be an afterthought.
I don't think it will be. All right, so
I think they just like had too many missteps in this final season. I really believe that instead of doing like these 6 super long episodes, what they probably should have done is fleshed it out a little more and done an actual season out of it. I think everything they jammed into this episode should have been split up between this battle and the battle with the zombies, whatever they're called.
Well, and that brings up a good point about the, because this is a test, and I don't know what the reason was. I think a couple of people sleuthed it out that it's economics, that you're paying somebody for an episode.
Correct.
And if it's 80 minutes or 45 minutes, it doesn't matter. And they were already at such a large budget. That's one thing. I think you're right. Like, it's a lot to digest. Like, I sat there last night and, you know, I'm used to watching a movie, but a movie it's a three-part, you know, or three-part, you know, last act, you know, we get conclusion. I'm not used to a 2-hour television episode. Again, after another 2-hour television episode, I get no time to reflect on what has happened here.
Right.
And it's different from binging.
This episode should have ended when they rung the bells.
And then see what she does. That's a great point.
That's what it should have ended. They rung the bells.
And you show her, she's clearly like shaking and they're making
her. But it's the end of the episode.
And then
the next episode is when she goes mad and burns it all down. That's
a good point.
Yeah.
They just jammed too much in and it would have
delivered more for the fans. This season has been lacking the emotion that you used to get out of Game of Thrones.
And
I say all this as an expert who only just reads all the synopsises and all the criticism and all the Twitterverse about the show.
It was a great moment last night on Twitter because, and I know you weren't watching this part, but the people that were not watching it were watching the end of the Philadelphia-Toronto basketball game. Yes, that's a small audience, but it was the first buzzer beater in the game 7 of a playoff. And so right at the same time as Daenerys is burning down King's Landing, you have this incredible moment, Kawhi Leonard hitting a buzzer beater, one of the great iconic shots of all time. You know who's a big loser out of last night? Elizabeth Warren. Because I thought about this, and I know other people had said this, but you know, she was the one who she wrote the op-ed, I think like 3 weeks ago.
The horrible op-ed that we made fun of in one of my hot takes.
Right. We needed less Cersei Lannisters. We needed more Daenerys Targaryens. So it's like, you know, I know she's a very policy-oriented campaign, but I think she was way wrong on what's happened here.
Right, because, I mean, isn't Daenerys turning into Donald Trump?
I thought about that, too, was like, you know, what do you do when you have a leader that is so powerful? Mm-hmm. Like, and people are going to just groan at this, but is a dragon Donald Trump's base? It is this unbeatable, unmovable force that almost supersedes anything that you might put up against. You can have all these defenses, you can have all these ballista missiles, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you've got this semi-crazed leader who has a definite claim to power backed up by this one element that is stronger than anything you have on your side.
Well, I think that there's something more important to talk about with Game of Thrones. There was big news this week. Taylor Swift revealed that a lot of her Reputation album was influenced by Game of Thrones.
That was the big development.
That was the big news. The big news really was? It was like one of the rare times my pop culture interests converge with yours. But I like to think that as Daenerys was burning down King's Landing, Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do was the soundtrack in her head. Because that song was inspired by Daenerys and I think Arya.
You know, if they had Ed Sheeran in one of the episodes, you think that they could mix in
some Taylor Swift?
Some Taylor Swift. Like, imagine if she's just like running down King's Landing and Daenerys like burns her. That would have been like, if you think about how the internet would explode if you just had her on.
They should have done that.
For 20 seconds.
They should have done it.
And then maybe they're
going to put her on the Iron Throne.
But wait, there's not an Iron Throne anymore, right? What if she... You clearly had Taylor Swift running northwest, and it burned. Do you think the internet would explode?
Well, they wouldn't have her running northwest because that's one of the names of Kanye West's kid.
I know,
but they just wouldn't do it.
That was my whole point.
I know it was your whole point, but they just wouldn't. She wouldn't agree to it.
What if she was, all right, fine, okay. I thought you would just be impressed with the fact that I knew who one of the Kardashian kids was.
I mean, who doesn't know that terrible name?
Didn't they just have another one?
Yes.
What is it?
They don't know. They didn't release the name. It's
a boy. What is this deal with nobody releasing the names of their children?
I know. I mean,
I don't get it. Like,
because they're just trying to prolong the news coverage.
I get the media cycle
around the birth of their kids. It's all about making money.
They're having very public pregnancies. If you're going to have that, we deserve to know what your child's name is.
Well, in case you didn't know, the royal baby's named Archie.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Oh, my gosh. This is breaking news to me right now.
I mean, it's not breaking news. They released it the same day they released the pictures of the baby.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. The baby's name. It wasn't at the same event. It was like later in the day on their Instagram. They shared a photo of the queen meeting the baby for the first time.
I thought you.
And the name was on there. The name is Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
Archie.
So, as in Archie and Jughead, the comic.
Is there a proper version of Archie or is it just Archie?
They just named him Archie. Archibald would be like the proper version, but he's only been named Archie.
Is that in honor of something that I'm not, I mean, I don't know. Is that
no one really knows. It's not like they give an explanation for why they named their kid. Harrison literally translates to son of Harry.
Okay. Yeah. I figured I get
that's
that.
That's the literal translation. So it's, but again, I, you know what? I'm not in the business of picking apart baby names.
No, I know. But like the reason why they picked some of the names is that
they did not go this. This is not a royal name.
This is just a name.
This is not a royal. Neither of them are royal name. I mean, Harry himself is not even named Harry or Harrison. His name is Henry.
Right. And that makes sense inside of the.
Right. It makes sense for him to be named Henry. But no, their child did not get a royal name and their child does not have a royal title.
Okay. So breaking news to me. See, this is what, honestly, I think about this because there's just, it's not that there's so much that goes on, but it's like, we go down these silos and it goes to the idea of like spoilers and things like that. Like there are shows right now, like as you and I are sitting here Monday, we have not watched Veep, which is our like.
Because it didn't start till 11 o'clock at night and I'm already asleep at that point.
But it's like, so what are we supposed to. Like, I'm purposely not looking at the internet right now because I don't want to know if she became president or is vice president or what have you. And so there was a great article that I wanted to bring up and talk just a second about. It's by Jim Rich, and it's in Esquire. And it's, are spoiler alerts making us monsters and things like that?
And what's the funny thing I revealed to you after I read the article?
That you did not know that Walter White, the character from Breaking Bad, was dead.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get spoiled on that. I mean, and how dare this article spoil me? What if I was going to watch that show? Just kidding, by the way. I'm never going to. All it goes to show is you can avoid being spoiled. I mean, it didn't even pop up in my feed anywhere.
Did you see the video clip? I didn't know that this had come out from the Westworld producers.
That was hilarious.
That they said, we're going to put all of the spoilers to season two in one video, and everybody went crazy for it. And then it turned into a Rickroll with the cast doing the famous Rick Astley song. I guess it's just like, I think you have to, I guess I'm tired of this whole.
So the article does say, it's like a debate. Like, well, at what point do we draw the line? Do we not publish scores to major sporting events? Because what if someone reported right. that? Like, why is there a difference between TV shows and sporting events?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm supposed to not talk about something because you worked last Wednesday night. And I get that. It's also, you know, we have this world that is very, you know, I always, when I was a child, we had a Publix and an Albertsons, okay, grocery store. And Albertsons was open 24/7. And I thought it was insane that I'm like, who would ever go grocery shopping at 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night? And my mom would say, well, I do, you know, I work 3 to 11 and I need someplace to go on my way home from work or whatever. And I bring that up because the world has changed so much now in terms of when people work. You know, the only place that I can think of that's not open on Sundays is Chick-fil-A. Right. But everything else is open and going at it. Like, and even myself, like Sunday evening is the new Monday morning. And so I get the idea that people are working in so much that they will not have the time to see something when it first pops. Like, there are a lot of people now that work on Sunday evenings, and so they didn't
get to
work. But
can they just avoid reading about it? I mean, if you know that you missed out on a major television show, then just don't open any email from People Magazine, Entertainment Weekly. Don't log into your Twitter. Like, just don't look at that stuff. It's really easy to not be spoiled. Guess what? I haven't been spoiled about Endgame. I have purposely avoided any stuff on Endgame. I still want to see it. I just haven't been spoiled on it because I am the one who's responsible for myself not being spoiled.
I think it goes to a larger issue. All right, so the person who they talked to in there is my favorite, David Simon, the creator of The Wire. And he's saying, well, I don't do a lot of shows that are that would be ruined by spoiler. Like, you know, even if one of our characters dies or something like that, it's, you know, we have 30 characters. And so it's a small minor part. I think that's what's killed Game of Thrones. I think that that's what kills, it killed in a way Endgame, and it kills a lot of our shows right now, is the propulsion that it's what killed Lost. And Lost is still the great, is still the great cautionary tale of how to end a show, in the sense that, remember, Lindelof, I mean, he basically ended up having to apologize. He left Twitter. It changed the way he thought about how he was producing things, because people, they didn't care anymore about the character development or the stories, or not, excuse me, the character development or the show. They just wanted to know, they just wanted to know the mystery. They just wanted to know the riddle. And it's like, wait a second, we still have these great stories to tell. It's the same thing with Game of Thrones right now. All right, so we're going to see, or we're going to not see, someone on the Iron Throne next week, but we will have been rushed along over this last month. And that is, that's the word you see in most of the criticism.
Right.
Is that it's rushed. And we just, we want to get
Is there an Iron Throne left, or did it get burned down by the dragon?
No, that is a good question. That's one of the big think pieces is there an Iron Throne left right now, physically? And so I just wish we, you know, we are so consumed with seeing who shot JR that we are giving up the nuances of the 55 minutes that go before in the show. And I think that that's what's beautiful about like a David Simon, The Wire, or Breaking Bad, even, where it's like, hey, okay, you're going to get your end, and it's going to be, or, and I think about like David Chase with The Sopranos, you know, we don't know whether or not that there was a hit on Tony or not. It still is about the characters, and it still is about their journey, and it's still, it's not about who killed X. That was the big criticism of The Sopranos, is literally Alan Siepenwald writes about it. There needs to be less yakking and more whacking. And that's the same thing that's happened here on Thrones. They wanted, you know, less politics, and they wanted more dragons. Well, when they started giving people more dragons, the show was not the original powerful tour de force that it was. People actually didn't realize it, but they wanted, what they really wanted was, they wanted the plotting. They wanted Tyrion Lannister and Varys and so forth. And so
Tyrion has like not even been there this last season, hardly, right?
No,
he's kind of just like the forgotten character, just like left hanging out, waiting for everything to be done.
It's amazing. He's one of these characters, him, Jon Snow, et cetera, that continue to make one bad intellectual move after another, where to the point where Daenerys has said, if you make another mistake, it's going to be your last one. They just could not come up with, they're the worst tactical leaders I've ever seen.
I'm sorry that you've been so let down by Game of Thrones.
It is. It's going to, I am looking forward to a show in, all right, so just on the radar, I loved the trailer last night for The Watchmen. I know that that's a comic book. People,
wait, that's coming back again? They're redoing it?
They are. So Damon Lindelof, who did Leftovers and Lost, is doing The Watchmen for HBO. It is a modern retelling of it. It's not the same as the movie. We haven't even seen Dr. Manhattan. It's much more post-apocalyptic. Watchmen, if you haven't ever paid attention to it, it was the only graphic novel that was in Time Magazine's list of 100 best books of the century. It was too daunting of a text for to make it to a movie. Zack Snyder, I thought it did an excellent, excellent job. But like what he did with Justice League, critics did not like it. The fans barely tolerated it. I think it's perfect for a 8 or 10 part television show. We saw the trailer for that last night. It looked very ominous. Deadwood's coming up. But the next one that I'm kind of waiting for is Handmaid's Tale, which I know you don't watch.
No, it's too terrifying because it could become reality, and it is becoming reality right now.
And how so?
Have you seen the news about that horrible bill that they just passed in Georgia? The heartbeat abortion law.
I did. I don't mean to make light. I saw a tweet last night where they said, "Happy Mother's Day from Georgia, the only state that is going to make it mandatory.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's not just the heartbeat bill. It's not just the heartbeat portion of it. It's the portion where if you dare to leave the state of Georgia to get an abortion, they can prosecute you and put you in jail for how long? 10 years?
I mean, prison's prison. I mean, it's...
Right. But they're going to prosecute you and imprison you if you dare to leave and go to a state that's more free to get a medical procedure done.
And if it goes worse than that, it is if you assist someone in leaving the state or giving somebody the airfare and the money for surgery, you can be held accountable to that and be imprisoned for that.
And then it's even more horrifying. If you are a woman who happens to suffer a miscarriage, you are going to have to prove in the state of Georgia that you had a miscarriage, not an abortion. You are going to have to dive deep and answer probing questions about one of the most horrifying moments of your life, something that you just need to grieve and something that no one can understand until they've lived through it. The Georgia legislature now says you have to prove that you went through that horrible atrocity. Otherwise, you can be imprisoned. Doesn't that sound like The Handmaid's Tale to you?
Oh, it is The Handmaid's Tale. It is. And it's not, remember, it's not just Georgia. I mean, Louisiana's coming this way. Mississippi's this way. Ohio has heartbeat legislation. Literally.
This is what I told you about when Donald Trump was elected president and you couldn't understand why I was so upset. I told you I was afraid about this onslaught of attacks on women's personal freedoms. And this is what is exactly is happening. They're setting it up for a Supreme Court challenge so the court can overrule Roe versus Wade. And I don't even need to get into Roe. My whole thing is with the Georgia law, you can be pro-life, but any like pro-life person, you've got to recognize that part of being pro-life is not interrogating a woman and making her litigate the most traumatic moment of her life, a miscarriage. It's an abomination. And as women, I don't care if you're pro-life or you're pro-choice. We should all be standing up and saying that that's not okay.
No, I don't mind. I don't even want to pretend like I mind tapping into this issue, because whereas I may have reservations about, it doesn't even matter what my reservations are. A woman's body is hers to govern. And so I'm not even going, and I know that the other side will, well, this is murder of a child and everything like that. I don't even go into that. It starts with a woman's right to privacy and to govern in her own body. And I keep thinking about it. I don't know the biology of it, but I'm pretty sure there are a lot of women who are 6 weeks into their pregnancy and have no clue that they are pregnant. And now they're going to wake up and they'll know that their period had not. Maybe, I guess.
Not everyone's regular.
I don't know.
No, like it's not normal for people to find out at 4 weeks that they're pregnant. We were lucky when we found out we were pregnant with Ella at 4 weeks.
Right.
But it's not normal. It's very common for people to find out about 6 weeks, and doctors won't even see you until you're 8 weeks pregnant.
And this is, I will tell you, it did not go through this session. It's coming to Florida. I mean, these bills are coming soon to Florida because you have, you know, and that's part of it. This is the real world implications, like you say, of a Trump presidency or even a Republican presidency. You start putting conservative.
No, I wouldn't just say a Republican presidency. I'm going to say it's a real world implication of a Trump presidency, of a having.
Oh,
a,
you don't think Mike Pence would be putting the same conservative judges on though?
But here's the thing. We have an avowed misogynist in the White House. And so now it's like there has been a free pass for everyone to let their inner misogynist back out. And it's okay now for men to say that women shouldn't have the right to choose what they do with their own body. It actually wasn't okay for people to say that before. And now it is again. Yeah. So I don't just think it's a Republican thing. I really think it is a byproduct of a man being president of the United States who just says, I just grab him by the pussy, and he's not apologetic about it.
And that's why I'm not looking forward to The Handmaid's Tale anymore, because when you watch it, it's not the big picture stuff. It's like they're in a Starbucks and somebody calls them a whore because they're dressed in spandex, or there is a bureaucrat who won't process.
Wait, let's translate that to like the woman who published the op-ed saying that college girls should not be allowed to wear yoga pants to school because it's unfair to her son. How can he be expected to focus on his studies when women are putting all their goods on display in yoga pants? It's the same thing.
It is a extraordinarily, I didn't get it at first. Remember, you and I talked about it. I didn't understand what you were fearful of. I thought,
as a mother of a daughter, I'm very fearful.
I didn't get it. And I do see it more and more. It's not just against women, but it's women, it's transgender. It's also against people in the LGBT community who, you know, there's that scene in The Handmaid's Tale where they won't recognize, they don't recognize the marriage. Therefore, somebody doesn't get to bring along the child. And it's like, well, you could see that happening. You're a step or two removed from that. You're like, oh, well, the Supreme Court would never. No, not if Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies tomorrow and you've got a 6-3.
Yeah, I'm just still praying
majority.
All that's holy that Ruth Bader Ginsburg does not leave this earth anytime soon and that she continues to serve on that court, because we need that voice there. We do.
Well, and there's other stuff.
And there's other inhumanities that women are suffering. I mean, we've talked about Florida's prison system. We're going to talk about criminal justice reform with Senator Brandis later. But I mean, what about that poor woman, Tammy Jackson, in a Broward County jail, who was forced to give birth alone in an isolation cell without any medical help, without any clean towels, without any water, without any assistance, period. She called out for help. She screamed out and cried out to the prison guards that she was in labor and she needed help. And they did nothing. It was 6 hours and 54 minutes later before someone came and checked in her cell and discovered that she had squatted down and dropped the baby into her hands. And she was just in a puddle of blood holding this newborn. This is a woman who was mentally ill. This is someone who absolutely needed basic medical care. We are not animals in cages. And right here in Florida, we are treating women like animals in a cage, literally.
First of all, I don't know what the hell they're putting in the water down at the Broward County Sheriff's.
I think they need to fire them all.
Department. I mean, that department can't do shit right. And from Parkland to Scott Peterson to the abuse case from a month ago, I don't know what they're doing in the training. But they need to introduce, like, have some fucking decency to your fellow man and woman in the first week or two, because it seems like everybody, it's just one story after another out of the Broward Sheriff's Department about cowardice or abuse or neglect. And I know that that is painting a broad brush, but it seems like it continues to happen from one department. Number two, when I see these stories, and you know, like, I don't know. I consider myself like an amateur peniologist in being fascinated by what happens. You know, a lot of people go to jail and they are, in fact, all right. So there was the woman last week that went to jail for 12 hours because she had CBD oil
at Disney World.
So, and the charges were dropped. Okay. So think about it. This is a person who grandmother going to Disney. She's Papa Ben.
Right.
And the day's great. And she is from out of state. And some, you know, aggro security guard thinks, you know, that this is some terrible thing. And she is then, they're flagged. And she then goes and spends 12 hours in jail. We don't know what that does to her. You know, maybe she has arthritis and now she doesn't have her medicine. Or she's on painkillers for something else, an injury, and she doesn't have her medicine. She clearly has the CBD oil, right?
Right.
So now, and this happens all the time. We are so quick to arrest in our current criminal justice system. We have empowered cops in a way, and I've been talking about this for years. We have empowered cops to just arrest anybody, and then they get to sort it out. You know, again, no charges filed. We're sorry. But wait a second, that person just had their that is going to deliver. That person will never forget that incident. And there are so many of those people in the criminal justice system that are, you know, we think that they're, we just love to lap up law enforcement. And yet, well, who do you think is working at the Broward County jail? I mean, who do you think is on staff there? And maybe there are some good people there, but there are a lot of people who maybe couldn't find another thing to do. And so they took one of the worst jobs in the world, which is being a prison guard. I'm sorry, you know, for those people that do a decent job, but I look at the picture of the guy who got on the bed and punched the handcuffed prisoner. I see these abuse cases.
In a hospital.
This hospital. I see these abuse cases again and again. And this is exactly what they all feared. They said, why did all of them resist putting on the body cameras? Because they knew this is what happens. And the other side will say, well, this is a mouthy teenager who keeps pushing it. Or this is a person in a jail. You have no
idea. This is a woman asking for basic medical health care.
And that's the situation here. And and I'm sure they looked at her. Oh, she's insane. She's crazy. We need a restrainer.
They knew that she was at her due date. So she was absolutely pregnant, and they knew that she could deliver at any day. There should have been arrangements made. Like they said, they called a doctor at 3 a.m. and the doctor said they couldn't get there till 7:30 a.m. And then when the doctor got there, the doctor didn't see her for an hour and 28 minutes until after he arrived at the jail. If you have an inmate that you know is about to have a baby, you should have maybe made arrangements to make sure a doctor's there, or maybe transferred her to a hospital under surveillance so she could have this child with basic medical care. She was in jail, not a prison. Prison, they would have actually had the medical team there, and she would have had, you know, there's an infirmary. She would have been able to be cared for properly. But the jails just aren't set up for it, and it's just not acceptable.
And this goes to the larger argument. Whenever people talk about, you know, we need to cut taxes and all this stuff.
That's what we're cutting.
This is what we're cutting.
This is what happens. A woman is forced.
We're understaffed.
A woman is treated worse than if your puppy was pregnant. You would take better care of your puppy when it was giving birth. And this woman got treated giving birth to a human being. These human beings that are so important to the Georgia legislature that we're going to imprison women if they dare to leave the state to terminate a pregnancy. These human beings that are so important that we get to say a woman doesn't have any agency over her own body. Well, guess what, guys? We're turning the other way while the Florida prison system, the Florida jail system is just leaving women to possibly die. And by the way, she's an African-American woman, and African-Americans have a much higher rate of birth issues and complications and fatalities as a result of birth. So we should have maybe been paying a little bit more attention here.
I can't wait to get the messages from people on Wednesday or Thursday. You know, I really liked your podcast, and I'm, you know, I don't mind when you guys talk about like political issues, but it seems like, you know, you guys have taken too far left of a turn for my liking. I'm not going to be able to subscribe anymore.
We're totally going to get some of those, but you know what? I'm going to take a right turn for them right now. How about that? So let's talk about our Republican governor really let me down this week.
Oh, goodness.
I am so pissed at Governor DeSantis. There's like no nice way to say this, but like he vetoed the ban on straw bans. It was like what I was most excited about from this session.
This is a very important piece of legislation. As Wenge Newton said, because the city of St. Petersburg is probably the most prominent city that has a...
There's only six municipalities right. that has a straw ban in the entire state.
And of course, our lovely mayor... His never ending desire to impose his life on the rest of his viewpoint on the rest of us banned straws. And so Wenge Newton says St. Pete has 99 problems and straws ain't one of them. But somehow
straws are a problem.
Straws are a problem. And so Ron DeSantis vetoed the bill that was going to keep cities from banning straws. And so
I think it was a surprising veto. Like no one saw this coming.
All right. So the upside of it is I will give Ron DeSantis credit for keeping it interesting. Like Rick Scott would have never vetoed this. Like he would have.
Rick Scott didn't care about any policy that had nothing to do with jobs.
Right.
So, I mean, well, let's not pretend like Rick Scott would have even known what a ban on straw bans was.
He would have gotten a $200,000 check from the American Straw Distributors Group about a week before the session ended, and this bill would have gone right through. I think that he keeps it interesting. I think he's going to veto a few more things from what I'm hearing. And so it's at least interesting that the veto process